This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
So what's the setup for you guys if you want to listen to Astros baseball and listen to Nice M5 at the same time? We're going to do this show till 12, our normal time, and then Gallant and George will be on from 12 to 1. That will lead into the Astros Tigers post game from ESPN Radio, and then the game itself at 1:30. And then no matter when the game ends, the Killer Bees, I imagine as long as it's a reasonable time, I don't know if it's an 18-inning game, we'll hear from the Killer Bees, but if the game ends like it did at the same time it did yesterday or before, you're going to hear the Killer Bees to give you your unofficial post-game for the Astros. Hopefully it's one where we're talking about a 1-1 series and then we're going into a winner-take-all tomorrow. Bob Nightingale put out a stat, I read it earlier, that history says the Astros aren't winning this series and it's not even getting to a third game. Teams who win game one in these best of three series are 8-0, and seven of them haven't even gotten to a game three. So the Astros have to buck some history. And that begins today with Hunter Brown on the mound. Alex Bregman was good yesterday, nearly hit a home run. So he was one of a few Astros who had good at-bats against Skubal and was productive. Here's Alex Bregman talking about what the challenge was facing the future Cy Young Award winner.
Well, he's got 4-plus pitches that are elite, and, you know, he attacked. You know, we didn't do enough off of him, obviously, but I loved the fight in the room. Came down to the final inning and had the bases loaded, and Chaz threw a great AB on him, and Jay Hay did as well. I mean, 3 feet higher. It's a tie ball game, so proud of the fight in the room. Tomorrow, come back and get a win.
Yeah, that ninth inning, Chaz in his first at bat back, really good. Worked the count, fouled off some pitches, stayed off the bad ones, and got on first. And Joe Espada echoed Bregman's sentiment about the Hayward at bat. We're talking about, well, Espada said game of inches. We heard Bregman say a couple feet. And depending on where that ball lands in the corner, and how Chaz is feeling, maybe we're not even talking about a tie game. I know Espada didn't think so. He thought if that ball gets down and gets to the corner, the Astros are walking that one off. Chaz is scoring from first. Unfortunately, none of that fantasy casting happened. The ball wasn't a couple feet high or a couple inches one way or the other. It was caught. Torkelson made the play, and the Astros went down 3-1. And we'll see how they respond today. Getting off to a good start is an obvious thing to say. But a 1-2-3 inning to calm the nerves, maybe not even Hunter Brown, but that entire building. And then let's say even if you don't push a run across, some good at-bats, you threaten early against Holton, who will be the opener for the Tigers, as they are a team really devoid of a real playoff-level rotation. They just have one really good guy at the top, and they're just going to have to try to manage this thing to get out of the wild card series. Tyler Holton's been good, obviously. It's the reason why he's opening. But this is a 2-3 inning guy. And if you can touch him up a little bit, maybe we change the momentum of the series. But it has to happen. We had a caller facetiously say, why don't we just bench Kyle Tucker? Because I was talking about how bad he's been. And that has been a thing this week about benching good players on particularly one good player on the Texans because of his penalty issues. And no, there is no recourse with him. He's got to play. And hopefully he fixes the holes or the false starts. And Laremy Tunsil is the player in question. And the same is for Kyle Tucker. He's been bad, but all it takes is a big game today, and we feel a lot better about him. That's all. That's all I'm looking for from Kyle Tucker. Be who you're very capable of being, and things can turn around pretty quickly. But it has to happen. Or we're talking about what I would consider certainly injury plague, but a very disappointing Astros season. The thought, no matter who was there, even if Joe Espada is new, even if you ask some questions about who's starting, particularly once you got going, this was a team that had real World Series aspirations. And the betting, at least on ESPN Bet, said so. They are the second favorite to get to the World Series out of the AL. Now they already have their backs against the wall. Joe George will be at the game, so he'll do the unofficial pregame here, and then he's going to head over to Minute Maid Park. So he'll have. Hey Joe, can you come in here for a second? I asked this question to people. Since you were actually at the game, this makes sense. So Joe George was at the game yesterday. You can blame him or the fake report that Ted Cruz was there. Whoever you want to blame for the loss. Now Joe was there when they won the World Series, so he has some grace. We can't really shoot at him about him being blamed. So you were at the game. So the question for me is, because I saw someone who else was there, I think from Apollo Media, say the crowd wasn't the best. Now you are a Midwest sports fan, but certainly you've been down here a long time, so you've seen all different types of crowds, playoff game crowds. How would you judge this Astros crowd compared to others in terms of playoffs? Even just compare them to other Astros playoff crowds.
The worst Astros playoff crowd I've ever seen.
It was
boring. Like the game wasn't great. Like they didn't do anything to like contribute to the crowd, but. I mean, I guess I got there like 1:45, so I missed like the intros and I missed the first inning. But as soon as Frommer gave up those runs, like it just in the second, just kind of was quiet. There was never really – maybe the Astros just didn't give them a chance to get pumped up for anything, but they didn't even – like I feel like they didn't even cheer that loud to try to like get things going. It's like it was very, very quiet. And, I mean, it's 1:30 on a Tuesday, so, like, the attendance thing's not surprising, where there was just a lot of open seats. But yeah, it was just a very dull crowd.
Yeah, that was the reporting, if you want to call it that, from – his name's Apollo. This is online accounts, Apollo Josh. He created Apollo Houston. They're a media company here in town. So he went to the game, and he got after the fans. He didn't pay attention to the number of people. He didn't say that was the issue. It's what you're saying, that there was no real energy to even help, if you want to say, help the team build some momentum. They didn't get up with two strike counts. It wasn't, hey, we got a 3-1 count in our favor. Let's do something about it. Let's get up. Let's get some energy in the building. So you're echoing what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that stood out before they started to try to come back a little bit was they just kept booing the third base umpire.
Okay.
Every single time that Yiner asked for them to look for a called third.
Yeah, even John Granata brought that up. He didn't like the way that guy was reacting.
Yeah, like every time they did it, like the fans were just getting on the ump. But like that's pretty much it. Like,
okay.
They were just booing that guy and those.
So you've been here in the city. You would know just like I would, and a lot of people would. Would you call it? We're simply complacent because we do this every time, or it's the wild card round. We don't hate the Tigers. We don't know anything about them. What would you put this on?
I think it's Astros fans feel it's beneath them
to get up
to
and
like,
cheer,
just care about the playoffs until the ALCS. And like, not that there's anything wrong with that. They've gone to the ALCS 7 straight times. But like, I told the story with Paul yesterday. Like, I was a manager at a lid store for 3 years, and that was 2019 to 20 through 2021, basically. And whenever the Astros would make the playoffs, ALDS t-shirts and hats would go for sale. And then a week later, they would go on clearance because no one bought them. And then ALCS stuff would come up and you'd sell a little bit more. And then it would go on clearance again because no one wanted it. But when they would go to the World Series, like it would pop off, right? But like it's just the expectations change. So I think some Astros fans think it's a little bit beneath them. And I think the game time just doesn't help. Like It's 1:30 on a Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Like, would you, taking off work.
Would you affirm the accusations that they are, at least the people who were there yesterday because of the time, are a corporate crowd? Or would you say those are normal Astros fans who are in that ballpark?
I'm going to assume it's corporate because I think going to games in the – it's not the loudest fans in the world always, but I love going to regular season games. And I think regular season games are way louder than what yesterday was. So that's why I lean that, like, that's why I don't think it's some indictment on Astros fans. It's more when the playoffs come, and the tickets weren't outrageous yesterday, it didn't look like, but, you know, people that can afford to take off work and, you know, take PTO days or just skip work, like, they're just not as passionate fans. We all know that. Like, we all know that's what happens in the playoffs. We see it, you know, we see it in the Super Bowl every year. Super Bowl is a church for the most part.
Yeah,
so it's not real fans.
So not a criticism of what you consider the hardcore Astros fans. It's just simply the time frame and who gets to go to those games. They're not exactly the ones that are most passionate, despite the number of jerseys or hats they might be wearing.
Yeah, okay. 100%.
Thank you, Joe George. Bye. His on-site reporting. Appreciate that. Joe's going to be doing the unofficial pregame and also be at the game. So we'll have he'll have reporting from the game itself tomorrow as well. Hopefully he'll be able to go to a game three, and that's what we're all hoping for. So, Astro fans, the ones who are going to the game, I'm not going to criticize you because you ain't going to get me to stand up. Just not my personality. But for the people who are going to the game, it's desperation time. Pick it up a little bit. Not to you guys who are there on a Wednesday night at 7 when the Pirates are in town. I'm sure if you could go to the game, you would be as loud as you possibly could. But sometimes it's just a different crowd, depending on your circumstances. You can get to a playoff game in the middle of the afternoon. And apparently, according to a couple of people who were in the building, it wasn't that impressive. The Astros are going to need you. It would help if they got off to a good start, too. That would change the course of the series and the energy in the building as well. Okay, we'll go to break here. We'll come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, there are two calls up there. We'll go this way. One call will take up an entire segment because he uses this show as an opportunity to do his own mini radio show. Like a movie is, depending on how long it is, could be an hour and a half to 2 minutes or two hours. He would treat this show like a movie short. He doesn't want to do a full 2 or 3 hours, but he'd love to do 10 to 12 minutes. So we won't get to Heezy. We will get to Dave first, and then we'll get to Raheel Ramzanali. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Del. Enjoy your show. I enjoy you on with John and Lance, too. You add a lot to their show, whether they realize it or not. Hey, here's what I'm calling about, this business of how the fans behave at the game. Just an observation. I have friends who are season ticket holders, and they're good fans, obviously. They're season ticket holders, but they can't resist when you get into the postseason selling their tickets. You know, some of their tickets get sold to recoup a lot of the money. If the Astros get to the World Series, I have friends who recoup all their money from their season tickets, from selling tickets. And I think they're selling to people who just want to be there, you know, and tell their friends they were at the game. Maybe they're fans, but they're not super passionate fans. And I think that contributes to kind of what you see in the playoffs. That's just an observation. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks. It's not a bad theory, to be honest with you. Tickets are expensive. Season tickets are expensive. You are trying to find a way to make some of that money back and maybe even get a little bit more depending on how far the Astros advance. It would not surprise me if people use Astros playoff games as an event type of situation as opposed to what they actually are. You're trying to go win a title and the games really matter. I don't know if the Astros and Minute Maid Park are a place where you go there to be seen and stuff, but you know, in this world today, you pose for a couple photos. Hey, look at me, Astros playoff game. It gets thrown up on Instagram. I don't know if those people are buying tickets, but it would not surprise me if some people are. I'm going to this game. Tell people I was at an Astros playoff game. Have a good time. and just watch and see what happens as opposed to living and dying with every pitch like a lot of Astros fans are. So I do want to be clear. This isn't an attack on Astros fans. I just noticed someone who covers Houston sports in this town and went to the game, pointed it out. And I thought to myself, let's find out if that's actually how it felt. And at least according to Joe, who was there at the game as well, it did feel that way. Okay. We got a real call out of the way. Now, my guy's going to come on and use my show as his own mini radio show. Here's Raheel Ramzanali. What's up, Raheel?
Hey, what's up, Deli Bear? How are you?
That's not my name. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay. Usually I'll call in and I'll have something funny for you or something planned, but this is a call kind of calling you out because I thought you were better than this.
Better than what?
I thought you were better than the fans have an impact on the game.
I didn't say, hold on, if maybe you should listen. I never said the fans have an impact on the game. I am simply asking people because I was interested in the observation made by someone. Was that true? I don't think the fans can get Kyle Tucker going. I just know fans believe that themselves, and I was wondering, is that a quiet crowd? Now you can go on.
Okay. Even if it was a quiet crowd, the fact that it was brought up is one of my pet peeves with the media. Who cares if the crowd was soft? Who cares, C.J. Stroud, if the crowd wasn't there in the first quarter?
Well, your starting quarterback does.
Yeah, guess what, C.J. Stroud? Don't throw interceptions, all right?
Well, he doesn't throw home interceptions.
Okay, fine, fair. He didn't throw many homies. But Minnesota, he did.
Yes, right? He did. That wasn't good. Very early, yeah. Yes, he did.
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't because the crowd was soft or...
Hold on. You don't believe a crowd can affect... Wait.
Didn't play well. I think a crowd can affect...
We got a dissenting opinion. Also, you don't think the crowd affected the Texans of Minnesota?
No, not really. Laramie Tunsil sucks everywhere.
Okay, let's move it to the college level. You don't think crowd? You don't think crowds affect college football players?
No,
it doesn't. No, you don't think. Hold on. Okay, let's remove the. You don't think crowds affect how college football players play?
Yeah, no.
Operating.
Not really.
You don't see false start penalties, delay of game penalties on the road in big environments because the team isn't ready for it.
That's fine, but you think that like 3 or 4 false starts are the reason why that team lost, or is it because they're just a better team?
I'm not saying 3 or 4 false starts are the reason the team lost, but it changes possessions. Like, Minnesota is a better team right now than the Texans. But,
yeah.
Yes, I will agree. But I think false starts, penalties certainly change how a possession goes, how instead of being 2nd and 5, a 2nd and 10, or 3rd and 9, that changed the way you operate. No, I am not saying the difference between Minnesota and the Texans were the false starts. But it makes the job much more difficult against a team that already is better than you, or at least is playing better than you on that day. So, but moving it to baseball. I do not think the crowd can help the Astros play better. Scooble's not going to be thrown off by a loud Houston crowd. I don't think that's the case. I am just I simply wanted to know if what that gentleman was saying was true. I don't think it matters one way or the other.
Yeah, one last thing on baseball. The crowds were popping last year at the ALCS, and the Astros couldn't win a home game. It's just because that's them. It's the players. It has nothing to do with the crowd. Back to football, all right? Alabama beat Georgia, right? Because that's the most recent one. That crowd was popping in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
They beat them on a neutral field last year. Like, crowds, when it's two really good teams, maybe it changes the direction of the game for a little bit, but at the end of the day, the better team wins most of the time, right? Even in the NFL, and this was my pet peeve with the C.J. Stroud stuff, and then I got suckered into a Twitter discussion. That was on me, Dale. I'm better than that. I got suckered into it.
Clearly
so
not.
I'm accepting responsibility.
Okay.
But it comes down to this, right? Like, some other hosts were saying, hey, look at the great crowd at Arkansas, at A&M, at Kansas City. Look at the Chiefs. These crowds are historically great. Kansas City didn't win anything until a historic great quarterback came along. Right, and they drafted the hell out of some great players.
Yep. In fact, Kansas City lost a lot of home games before Patrick Mahomes got there in the playoffs. That was their thing. They lost home playoff games before Patrick Mahomes.
It was like the whole thing. So Arkansas and A&M, college football, right? Great crowds. Like, there's no denying they're there. They're passionate. It's awesome. Look how many SEC titles that's led to. Look how many great historic moments that's led to. Crowds are the most overrated thing in all of sports, especially on the highest level.
No, my thought wasn't about how it affects the game. My thought was more about, is this town apathetic about this team in this situation right now? It was more a question of, is this going to build, if they actually get there, will it build in the ALCS or the World Series, which is to be expected? Are we the Atlanta Braves right now? We're the It's the wild card round. So what? We're not gonna be a team. We're not gonna be a fan base that gets there and gets excited, because this is what we expect. Not what will it do to affect the game? I don't believe in that at all. At least, particularly not in baseball.
Good.
In
okay.
other sports, I do. Somewhat.
Okay. But the fact that you even talked about it a little bit, about like, was the crowd apathetic? That I still think you're better than that. Just because Joe George was there doesn't mean you have to talk about it.
No, I talked about it before even thinking about Joe George being there. I'm not driven by
Joe George
appearances.
Back. I'm glad he's back, by the way. I know he's getting like a major reconstructive surgery on his mouth or something. So every week he's out with something.
I thought you meant
Joe
back.
George, get to work.
I thought you meant back from being the manager at a lid store.
No.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. Listen to your own station, Del.
No, why would I do that? I'm usually napping. No.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
Okay, one last thing. Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs crowd if you had to start a franchise today?
Well, is Patrick bringing his brother?
No.
I get to leave Jackson at home?
Yeah, and Brittany as
well.
Well,
see, I don't want to talk about a man's wife. That was in my head, but I wasn't to keep that to myself. But that would be a benefit too. Yes, obviously, I'm taking the young goat over those stupid fans imitating the Florida State Seminole fans with the tomahawk chop. It's not even original.
Yeah.
It's not even theirs. They stole that from Florida State.
Exactly. Thank you, Del. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
See, I told you he likes to use my show as his own mini show. It's like a radio short.
I feel like I added something to your show today, though.
I don't think so. It did give me a chance to stop talking for a little bit. So I do appreciate that, because Abigail. Is not as
ready, okay, as, but whenever I talk, you start roasting me. So what am I supposed to do?
Talk better?
That's crazy.
All right. Bye-bye to Raheel. He is kind of a guest host on the show whenever he wants. Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast. You can find that podcast anywhere you listen to your podcasts. He talks about important things in the city of Houston, not nonsense about do crowds really affect the performance on the field. We are strongly aligned with no, particularly in baseball. College football, yeah. You see teams get rattled all the time. There's a reason in NCAA, actually it's now EA College Football 25, they ranked the stadiums, and it affects the players on the field because it happens in real life, for Hill. If the video game says it does, then it happens in real life. I don't know what you're talking about. Man, that man watched the Texans commit false start penalty after false start penalty in Minnesota. I was like, no, they weren't affected. Since he's off, now I can rip his entire argument apart. You're wrong on some of it. The baseball stuff, I agree. Kyle Tucker, just get some hits. I don't care how loud the crowd is on a 3-1 count. Go out there and perform. And then we can have a conversation about you bouncing back as opposed to being terrible for the 2023 postseason and the first game of the 2024 postseason. And if you think there's going to be a Kyle Tucker bounce back and a turnaround for the Astros today, you may want to put some money down. Whenever you want to partake in sports betting, you go to mybookie.ag. From the MLB playoffs to NFL on Thursday night to the big football weekend that is approaching, MyBookie is the place you need to go to. It's just mybookie.ag. Type it in. Check out the website. They have their sports book. They have live betting. They even have a live casino. So if you want to play cards and you want a dealer just on the screen dealing you cards, that's where you go, MyBookie. Use that promo code BET975. It matches up to $1,000. 100% match up to $1,000 when you use that. So if you just want to dabble, you're not quite sure, you're not even sure you're into this, to the gambling thing, you can dip a little toe in, and they'll match whatever you throw up there. Makes your money last longer. So the NFL, they got you there. College football, they got you there. You can even bet on voting props. We know we had the vice presidential debate yesterday. There's something there for you, too. So from international soccer to basketball, we are days away from preseason basketball coming back for the NBA. Maybe you want to take a look at the WNBA playoffs. Those are going on as well. I say all these things because of the tagline. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. That's what MyBookie provides. Just go to mybookie.ag.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The lineups are out for the game that'll, well, first pitch, it'll be right in about 2 hours, almost exactly. Altuve batting first, obviously at second. Tucker, second. Third is Alvarez. Bregman follows him with Diaz, Caratini, Pena, Hayward, and McCormick. McCormick is in center. No Jake Myers, so we move McCormick to center. He had a nice at-bat in the ninth to get on. We'll see if that translates to a full game, him starting in center field. And, of course, your pitcher is Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown started off not great this year. There are questions about him. I took to calling him Cosplay Verlander because you want to look like Verlander out in the mound. You want to honor him because of where you grew up, but it just looked like a knockoff. That has changed. He added that sinker, and he became the one we hope Verlander would pitch like. Hunter Brown, a remarkable year considering how it started. I'm not going to attribute it all to simply adding the sinker because it's not like he's throwing it all the time, but it did certainly help turn him into a clear number two for the Astros throughout the year. And he's going today to help save the Astros season. It's not all on him. We know the bats have to come alive. They only scored one run yesterday. But he knows what's in front of him. So he was asked about what it means to pitch in a game two with the season on the line. Here's Hunter Brown.
How much are you looking forward to this opportunity to start the game knowing the season is on the line there?
Yeah. You know, like you said, what an opportunity. You know, we've been grinding all year. And, you know, here we are again with our backs against the wall. So, you know, hopefully come out and give us a good shot to win the game.
I'm going to have to tell you, Hunter's kind of quiet with us. How have you seen him just grow into this role where he can sit there yesterday and say, I know the situation, I want the baseball, and then fuel the confidence inside your clubhouse in him?
That's why he's starting, you know, a do-or-die game. He has pitched his way into one of our most reliable pitchers. He's done it all year. He's been one of the best pitchers in the second half of the season in all major leagues. And, you know, I trust him. This team trusts him. He has pitched big games for us when we have been in a position to, like, win. And I never hesitated when it was time to make a decision who was going to be our game two starter.
That's Joe Espada following Hunter Brown. And no hesitation, but he does have contingencies. And the big one is that if Hunter Brown doesn't pitch well, or let's say a disaster happens where he gets injured early, Kikuchi is a viable option to pitch today. The hope is Hunter Brown is great. He goes, well, obviously, if he went nine, that'd be cool. But if he goes seven strong, the Astros smack around this bullpen game for the Tigers, at least they smack around the Tigers in this bullpen game. And you've got Kikuchi ready to go, rested for a game three. But there is a chance that we're seeing Kikuchi today. All hands on deck that are available. We saw that attitude yesterday when Josh Hader went in the ninth. And it almost worked out. Hindsight, if that ball gets down from Hayward, we're talking about a spot of making an aggressive move to keep the Astros in it, and they took full advantage in the bottom of the ninth. I will say people at the time were questioning why he would bring Hader in because the Astros looked dead in the water. Why are you pitching him when they don't look likely to score a run? And they did get one run across, and as I said, they're a couple feet away from changing the complexion of the series, just didn't get it done, so they got to go again today. And we will have that game starting at 1:30 with the pregame official one at 1 o'clock. If you don't know by now, maybe you're not watching, we do have a guest producer Abigail's helping me out today. She will be running part of the Astros-Tigers game too. So, if things go well, thank Abigail. As far as how the broadcast goes, she can't be held responsible for what happens in the game. But if you're listening in and everything sounds smooth, that's Abigail's doing, at least till 3 o'clock. Then she's out. And Brian, the producer for the Killer Bees, will take you to the end of the game, and then he'll obviously produce the Killer Bees, whether it's a joyous post game or a miserable one because the Astros season is over. Think about this. We are at October 2nd, and the Astros season could be over. I'm trying to think. When's the last time it happened this early? 2015, when they didn't even make the playoffs? No, 16, when they didn't make the playoffs. Is that the last time the Astros season ended this early? I'm trying to think about the COVID year. COVID, yeah, they were. It was a shortened season, but they made it to the ALCS that year. Game 7, I think. I don't know what we're going to do. People got to adjust their lives if the Astros don't make the don't get out of this predicament and get to the divisional round. You have something to say? Okay.
Well, I think you're already preparing for the Astros to lose just the way that you're talking.
I'm setting it up because I'm just laying out reality. That's all. Because I don't think they're going to lose. I think Hunter Brown's going to pitch well. I think they'll find a way to scratch some runs across against this bullpen game that the Tigers are going to go out. They're going to throw out there. And they're going to win.
Right. But you're already saying, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the next week.
I said, what are we going to do? I didn't say, this is what I'm going to do. How about you listen?
I was listening.
No, you said, no. Right. Fine. Since I'm doing now a show just for you, I'll reiterate. I said, what are we going to do if they don't win? Because this is a team who has deep postseason runs. We are never dealing with early October and the Astros not playing baseball. Maybe if Sam wasn't distracting you in there, you would have heard what I said.
Sam wasn't even talking. What? She's not even here. What are you talking about?
She left 30 seconds ago. Relax. That being said, she may not be a great listener, but she's a good producer, and she will get you to 3 o'clock if you want to listen to the game here on ESPN 975. We have all the Astros games. That sounds like an empty promise if it ends today, though. But we will have every Astros postseason game, and hopefully that doesn't end with a thud today. I want to win. We all want to win. We expect this team to win this game. We expect them to win this series. They just got to go out and do it. Despite the discussion earlier, fans, no fans, there's not a big effect. Go out there and win the game. And if you win the game, we can talk about a game 3 and Kikuchi, your big acquisition this season, bringing it home. And, of course, Eric Wong's calling in with a question. Eric Wong, I don't agree with the premise, but go ahead.
Yeah, though, why do you hate the Astros so much? Is it because they're not the Miami Marlins?
I don't care about the Miami Marlins. So hold on. You asked a question. What about my approach to this show suggests I hate the Astros?
You know you don't like the Astros. You know you don't like JV.
What? Based on what?
Based on Johnny G.
Based on what John Granato says? The drunken liar?
John Granato, he's a Dodgers fan now.
What does that have to do with me? I'm not a Dodgers fan.
No, Johnny Granato's a Dodgers fan.
I know, so if he's a Dodgers fan, how does that mean I hate the Astros?
You're always talking bad about them, like they're going to lose.
I did not say they're going to lose. I said they're going to. I just said they're going to win. I said the alternative, if they lose, is something we haven't seen before, them being out this early.
What's the score going to be today?
What's the score? I don't know. 5-2, they win. Hunter Brown's really good.
Who, Tigers?
No, the Astros. They win 5-2. That's my prediction. There. Now I just said they're going to win. Is that clear enough for you?
Yeah, just for today. Are they going to win Friday?
Are they playing on Friday?
Well, if they win today, they play on Friday, isn't it? Or Saturday?
No, I think, don't they play tomorrow?
Do they play tomorrow in Detroit?
They're not. It's a 3-game series in Houston.
How
about you learn the team? You could attack me about what's going to happen. You don't even know the structure of the series. It's a 3-game series.
Well, this whole new baseball thing's all messed up to me. I thought it was 2-1.
No.
Two at home and one in the way.
No, it's a three-game series in Houston, I believe. Now you're now you got me questioning it.
So how do you feel about the Penguin? Did you watch the second episode?
Yes, I did. I'm not sure about the Penguin right now. It's fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I think the DC part of it is bothering me, like the amazing ways this guy escapes near death because I guess he just is simply too smart for everyone. Like some of the things seem like very obvious where he's the dude that's doing these things, but somehow because he's the Penguin and he has to survive this stuff, he gets away with it. That's the story I'm cool with. I like Sophia Falcone, that character. I enjoy her. But I do think some of the DC, this is a main character, so there's no way he can die. So he has to, they write him into weird, like these impossible situations and he gets out of it. That's kind of bothersome.
Yeah, kind of like with the knife situation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. It seems kind of nuts that if it was like a real crime drama type thing, he wouldn't have been able to pull that off and get away with it. But because he's got to survive, he gets away with it. Yeah, that's the only thing I'm bumping up against. But I do like a lot of what's going on.
Do you think Sophia met the Joker at Arkham?
I think they'll do plenty of tie-ins. I don't know if we'll ever see a Joker character. But yeah, I would imagine. They mentioned the Riddler already in the show. I think we're going to get a lot of mentions of the Rogues Gallery for Batman. I just question how many we'll actually see.
Oh, did you hear they also made a deep fake AI of Abigail? I'll hang up and listen.
No, I did not hear that. I think that's just Eric Wong being Eric Wong. He normally is a fan of a different Abigail, Abigail Dye. But we have an Abigail in the control room, so he mentioned her. No, I didn't hear that. You're going to have to come with more evidence than that. Okay. We got one more segment to go. If you want to sidetrack me by accusing me of hating the Astros, you can do that too. 713-780-3776. One more segment here before we are done and Gallant and George follow me. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, this comes from Art about our discussion regarding the crowd yesterday. Once again, I am not attacking Astro fans. I was just interested in an observation. Here's this one from Art. As a born and raised Houstonian, Houston crowds are kind of lame. They have to be prompted to make noise. They want more noise. Lower the ticket prices. Know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we had that talk. That maybe 1:20 or 1:30 in the afternoon leads to a corporate crowd. And the best of the Astro fans aren't at that game because they do things like go to work during the middle of the day. We will see what it is today, considering what's on the line. Your season is over. We'll see how the crowd responds to that, or will they wait for the Astros to do something to get them excited? Okay, there is some NFL news, and really it's for next year. The NFL kickoff, I wouldn't call it a success. We have had more kickoffs, but it's not like it's led to a lot of big plays. The coverage units are still doing their thing. And in some cases, teams don't care. They'll still kick the ball in the end zone, despite the fact that it's an automatic 30-yard line touchback. Well, the NFL looks like they're on the way to making it a 35-yard line touchback if you kick the ball straight into the end zone. They are trying to find ways to make kickoffs a bigger deal still. Now, the returns on kickoffs are currently up 12% over last year through the first 4 weeks. But they still don't like how many wind up in no play and teams more than thrilled to just have it snapped at the 30. Will 5 yards make a difference? How far will it have to go for teams to say, screw it, we're just going to have to cover kicks now? With defenses and how they're playing, and the passing yards being down, would 5 yards make that big of a difference? When you think about it, giving a team the ball at the 35-yard line and putting them about how kickers kick now, 25 yards away from being in field goal range, you would think that would make people want to cover kicks. But at this point, if defenses are continuing to put the top on offenses and it's dink and dunk and explosive plays are down, why is 5 yards going to make a difference? We'll see how the rest of the year plays out, but defenses are winning right now in football. And if your coverage unit, you don't believe in it, let them get the ball 35-yard line. It is an interesting balance that they're trying to have. We don't want to make it too punitive, but we're still trying to force people to make the kickoff a play. And at least 80% of the time, or at least, 71% of the time, just over 70% of the time, teams are fine making it not a play and starting at the 30. So we'll see what the NFL does, how the teams respond the rest of the way, because I don't think anyone cared that much about the kickoff rule. Touchbacks were fine for most people. But I applaud trying. It just has not resulted in big plays. Have we had a kickoff return for a touchdown yet? Maybe one? I'm trying to think. But we haven't seen big plays on the kickoff so far. And we'll see what happens going forward. Okay. We're a couple minutes away from wrapping it up. Let's talk to Abigail for a second. Just because she may not produce for me ever again. If I have my way, don't call it a lie. if I have my way.
Oh, right. You said you wanted AJ.
It could be AJ. It could be a number of people, just not you.
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, it's not definite, but it's always...
Nope, you made up your mind.
Well, I hadn't, but maybe now I have. So, you've produced for Raheel and Michael. You've produced for...
John and Lance.
Have you produced for Gone and George yet?
No. I'm only doing an hour today, so...
You never produced for them before?
No, never.
The Killer Bees, have you?
Yes, like very beginning.
Okay. If you want to rank them, or just pick your favorite.
Oh, heck no.
This is how this show goes. Just pick your favorite show. I don't care. Was John and Lance your favorite show to produce?
John and Lance was a fun show to produce.
A fun show to produce.
Yeah.
Was it your favorite show?
I don't have a favorite. I think people are listening. Like,
you
got
to learn. You got to learn from ESPN.
Okay.
You got to make you got to have a stance, a side. Pick a side.
Okay. Why don't you decide to
ask me a question?
Okay.
What do you want
rank
to
them first, and then
my favorite,
I'll rank them.
I've produced for Joel and Jeremy. I produced for obviously John and Lance. I've not produced obviously for myself or Gallant and George. So, the clear number one of the only shows I've produced is John and Lance.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, look, I have an answer. You've produced for almost everyone.
Except Gallant and George. So,
remove them from the equation.
Okay.
Who was your favorite?
My favorite was probably John and Lance.
There it is. See how easy that was? And if the afternoon show's pissed off, who cares?
Oh, my God.
Who cares if Joel's...
Sorry, Joel.
Why are we apologizing to Joel?
I'm not apologizing. I'm just
You just
saying.
Said, I'm sorry, Joel.
Okay. That
is exactly what an apology is.
Joel's, no, I love Joel.
Joel's not going to do anything if you like John and Lance more. It's fine. What's the problem?
Mean, yeah. Nothing's the problem.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Joel. Who cares?
Okay. How long have you been producing?
Off and on since 2011.
Okay. And out of all the shows that you've been producing, what's your favorite, like, to listen to? Because I know you don't listen to much.
Well, the only show I listen to on this station is the John and Lance show.
Yeah, because you're on it.
Exactly.
Okay, but, like, out of all, I know you produced with, like, didn't you do it with Raheel for a long time?
I hosted a show with Raheel, and yes, I also did produce a show with John and Raheel. Actually, I would say that one was probably my favorite show to produce.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
The John, because, I don't know. I think I like Raheel more than I like Lance. I think that's clear.
Oh.
That's my clear answer for that. I think it's pretty obvious. I would never give Lance a segment on this show.
Oh, yeah, but you clearly gave Raheel a segment.
Yeah, he called in last week and got a full segment. I like him more than I like Lance. So, yes.
That's fair.
The John and Raheel and Dell show is my favorite show to produce, mostly because Lance wasn't involved.
Oh. So I'm guessing you like John more than Lance then?
Well, like is a strong word for either of them.
Tolerate.
I tolerate John more because Lance is not a serious person.
Oh, right.
Now you got a taste of John at the holiday, not holiday party, the listener party.
Yes.
And obviously,
Sam both did.
Obviously, he at that party is not a very serious person. But as far as doing the show, John is a more serious person, and Lance, I could do without him.
Right. Okay.
Because for the most part, it's mostly because I don't have to pick John up from downstairs because he forgot his key card. Lance does
didn't
that.
Didn't he like scoot out? So
well, that's during the party. I'm talking about the everyday part of the show where I have to go down and pick up Lance because he left his key card at home.
Oh, right.
John has never asked me to do that because he's a serious person when it comes to doing his job.
I mean, I would always like act like I forgot my key card, but you said, no, you're not picking me up.
Go ahead. If you do that, you can wait till like right when the doors open. I'm not coming down to get you. Lance is actually important for the show. You? Whatever. I'm not going down to get you. Well, it doesn't matter if you're here or not.
That's crazy. I was going to produce your show, but guess you're doing it on your own.
Well, you should have thought of that earlier when you had some leverage. You don't have any leverage now because the show's almost over. All right. Speaking of that, do you know about the final thing we do? That sounder that Sean plays at the end of the show? Did you get that from him while you came up here a couple of days?
Yes. Maybe.
We'll see. So, despite all the combativeness, I want to thank Abigail for doing a great job producing the show. She will also get you through Gallant and George, and then part of the game coming up here between the Astros and the Tigers, which means I'm done for the day. So, Gallant and George, some pregame, the game itself, and then an unofficial postgame from the Killer Bees. So, if that's done, Abigail, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. Thank everyone for listening. Thank you for the calls and the tweets and the comments. I'll talk to you tomorrow.